Make sure that you're subscribed to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever. Type The Word of the Lord Endures Forever in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
It is no accident then, people loved by God, that in the church's traditional order of baptism, for century upon century, the candidates for baptism received the sign of the Holy Cross with the words, "Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the Crucified."
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the book of Revelation.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. In our previous podcast, we saw everything being shaken up and tossed about as the Lord Jesus, our Lamb, opened the sixth seal. Suddenly, it was very apparent what St. Paul meant when he wrote in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 31, "For the present form of this world is passing away." But we noticed in the signs that immediately precede the appearing of Christ here a curious mirroring of the day of his passion: earthquakes, darkness, even the moon rising in eclipse and hence appearing as blood. And with this shaking of the creation itself, also the stars fell. Remember, Gerhard thought that might be a reference to the teachers of the church falling from faith. But then the sky vanished and everything was shifted around upon earth. And when this begins, then terror strikes the unbelievers, no matter how rich and powerful or how poor and lowly they may be. Suddenly, they realize that they were being called to stand before the one on the throne and the Lamb, the great day of his judgment having arrived, and they're squealing in terror and seeking any and every chance to hide from him, like Adam and Eve in the garden. For who can stand, they ask, on the great day of their wrath? Well, that question is about to receive an answer. Moving on, a reading from Revelation, the 7th chapter, beginning at the 1st verse. "After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, saying, 'Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads.' And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, and 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed." Revelation 6, verses 12 to 17. Let us pray. Grant, we beg you, Almighty God, to us and to your whole church, your Holy Spirit, and the wisdom that comes down from above, that your word may not be bound, but a free course, and be preached and taught to the joy and the edifying of Christ's holy people, that in steadfast faith we may serve you, and in the confession of your name abide to our end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, are you ready to ponder this intriguing selection from Revelation? Let's get to it. Verse 1. After this, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding back the four winds of the earth, that no wind might blow on earth or sea or against any tree. Now, in Jeremiah 49, verse 36, the winds are depicted as executing Yahweh's judgment and scattering his enemies. And I will bring upon Elam the four winds from the four quarters of heaven, and I will scatter them to those winds, and there shall be no nation to which those driven out of Elam shall not come. But here, the angels are described not as sending forth, but holding back the four winds, thus producing a pronounced stillness and calm upon the earth, where even the trees were no longer swaying. This is in marked contrast, of course, to what had just been seen, the squealing terror of unbelief at the impending judgment. It's almost like in the middle of gigantic catastrophe, there's suddenly a pause in the action. And the reason, of course, is to give an answer to the question, who can stand? Well, we're about to learn who. Verse 2. Then I saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun with the seal of the living God, and he called with a loud voice to the four angels who had been given power to harm earth and sea, verse 3, saying, "Do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees until we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads." From the rising of the sun, that is, from the east, you remember, it was the ancient location of Eden, and based on the saying of Jesus from Matthew 24, verse 27, "For as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be." The early Christians anticipated that Jesus would return from the east, and thus the custom arose in Christendom of praying toward the east. This orientation in prayer was a way of watching for the coming one. So good stuff comes from the east. And so this angel goes forth and tells the four angels that they are not to let loose that wind or to harm the earth and sea until the servants of God have been sealed on their foreheads. The Venerable Bede, writing in the 8th century, actually regards this particular angel as the messenger of the Lord, that is, as the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who ascends from the rising of the sun with the sign of his holy cross and commands that this mark be placed upon the foreheads of those he claims as his own. It is no accident, then, people loved by God, that in the church's traditional order of baptism for century upon century, the candidates for baptism received the sign of the Holy Cross with the words, "Receive the sign of the Holy Cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ the crucified." This, like all the ceremonies associated with baptism, was a way of extolling what Christ does and accomplishes in the water. It truly marks us as his own. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, aren't we? We need to ponder first who these people are. Verse 4. And I heard the number of the sealed, 144,000, sealed from every tribe of the sons of Israel. The first thing to notice is that we have a similar experience to what happened in Revelation 5. So we need to pay careful attention to the verb, and the verb here is actually heard. This is not what John saw. This is what John heard. Now, my sister-in-law, a Jehovah Witness, pray for her, please, she is rather convinced that there will literally be only 144,000 who will enjoy eternal life out of all the human race. And she doesn't believe she's one of them. The most she hopes for is being allowed to live for the 1,000 years of the millennium. But that approach to the text ignores entirely the implicit symbolism of the numbers and the fact that this is a herd phenomenon. And he'll go on to describe what he actually sees next. And it'll be rather like the lion of the tribe of Judah being announced, and then a lamb as slain being seen. So hold on to that thought. The Venerable Bede again gives solid help when he explains, "By this finite number is signified the innumerable multitude of the whole church." And you remember why the church would be depicted as an idealized Israel, don't you? Recall in the opening letters when Jesus distinguished between those who claimed to be Jews and were not, but were a synagogue of Satan because they opposed their Messiah, how he would make them come and bow down to the Christians and learn this truth, that Jesus had loved this motley mix of Jew and Gentile that constituted his baptized people. Or how St. Paul would speak of the church in Galatia. "And as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Or again, how he told the Romans, that is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. And that John is not talking here about Israel according to the flesh is above all indicated by the odd listing that follows. Verse 5, 12,000 from the tribe of Judah were sealed, 12,000 from the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 from the tribe of Gad, 12,000 from the tribe of Asher, 12,000 from the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 from the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 from the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 from the tribe of Levi, 12,000 from the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 from the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 from the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 from the tribe of Benjamin were sealed. First off, anyone who knows their Old Testament would right away be saying, hey, wait a minute, that's not right. That is, the 12 tribes are jumbled here. Dan has gone AWOL, Judah is put first, and then Joseph gets put in there where traditionally Joseph's two sons are, Ephraim and Manasseh, and Ephraim is not even mentioned. And then the weird equal number sealed from all the tribes. What does that mean? The church fathers, tending to see this as the whole church, focused on the names, both those present and those absent. Judah, of course, comes first because, well, that's the Messiah's own tribe. And remember the blessing of Jacob in Genesis 49? Judah, your brothers shall praise you. Your father's sons shall bow down before you. And not just his brothers, but Genesis 49, verse 10, and to him shall be the obedience of the peoples. Now, Bede argues that Dan is omitted because the Antichrist was supposed to come from that tribe, basing that on Dan being called by his father a serpent and the source of idolatry. Bede interprets Reuben as seeing the sun, Gad as temptation, for having seen and believed in the sun, one must prepare for trial and temptation. Asher, he interprets as blessed, since the one who endures trials is blessed. Naphtali as prayer, since this people is devoted to prayer. Manasseh as forgetfulness, since those who come to serve Christ forget their earthly lineage for the joy of their new birth. Simeon, he finds to mean the name of dwelling, since Christians await the joy of their celestial habitation. Levi, he says, means addition, since in the age to come we receive eternal life additionally. Issachar, he reads as there is a reward, again referring to the promises laid up in Christ. Zebulun, habitation of strength, since Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Joseph, gifts have been added, since our humanity will be exalted to share Christ's reign. And Benjamin, son of the right hand, since he is last in the series, he indicates the joys of the eternal inheritance which will be given to the elect. Thus, in all the names of the sons listed here, Bede reads the blessedness of belonging to the new Israel through baptism into Christ. I will add, I think the reason Dan is omitted might specifically relate to the way Jacob tied Dan to judgment. And remember how Jesus said in John 5, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, into Dan, but has passed from death to life. That is, to be in Christ is to be safe on the day of judgment. And with that, we'll call our halt for today, people loved by God. Up next, we move from what John heard to what he got to see. And what a spectacle it was. An innumerable crowd, white-robed, palm branches in hand. And they're from all over, every tribe and people and nation, the Church Catholic. And they're singing to the Lamb. Till next time, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can donate by check, make your check payable to The Word Endures, and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.